Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Completing off the chapter on the virtue of the night of Qadr and explanation of its occurrence. We discussed the meaning of Qadr, the different aspects that Qadr includes, as far as the meaning is concerned. Just to recap quickly, one is grandeur. Grandeur means greatness. Grandeur because Quran Sharif was revealed in it, and because huge groups of angels descend in it. Also, one who engages in tawbah and istighfar, it will become a means of giving him grandeur, giving him status also, that his tawbah got accepted on this Mubarak night. The second meaning that this word Qadr can have is decision. In this night, decisions for the coming year are handed over to the angels. And the third could mean straightened, in other words, like crowded, due to the abundant numbers of angels that descend in it, and the land becomes straightened. Number of malaika that are coming down, up and down, malaika moving, and they're descending. So this is not the ordinary night. But this night is better than 1,000 months, which is equal to over 83 years. Allah Ta'ala has given this ummah such a great night. It's only foolish if we don't give it that importance that it deserves. The month of Ramadan is coming not too far away. Already we should have in mind that how I can get full reward as far as this great night is concerned. And if Allah Ta'ala takes a person away before the month of Ramadan, he'll still get the reward of the night of Qadr, because he made niyat in his heart that, oh Allah, if you allow me to see the month of Ramadan, I make niyat in my heart that I'll exert myself in trying to get the rewards of the night of Qadr. So even if Allah Ta'ala happens to take him away, this person will still be rewarded for the night of Qadr. Look at the beauty and the clemency and the kindness of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Anyway, we continue with the last few ahadiths. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha dakhala al-ashrul awakhiru min Ramadan, ahya al-layla wa iqadha ahlahu wa jadda wa shadda al-mi'zar, muttafaqun alayhi. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, when the last 10 nights of Ramadan commenced, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend the night in worship. He would wake up his family, he would intensify his worship, and he would fasten his loincloth, in other words, fasten his bottom cloth. You know, we got two cloths. One is the top cloth, think of Ihram, top cloth and bottom cloth. The bottom cloth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tighten it. That's an expression, we'll explain it just now. This hadith means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would generally not engage in worship the entire night. However, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would engage in excessive ibadah. Therefore, during the month of Ramadan, and especially the last 10 nights, one should exert oneself in worship. One should encourage his family members to also do the same, and thereby draw the benefits of such moments of acceptance. What is meant by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fasten his loin cloth, his bottom cloth? It means that he would exert himself in worship. It's an expression that he would exert himself in worship, or that he would abstain from any type of relationship, conjugal relationship, with his spouses. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يجتهد في رمضان ما لا يجتهد في غيره وفي العشر الأواخر منه ما لا يجتهد في غيره رواه مسلم. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to strive in worship in the month of Ramadan as compared to other months, and in the last 10 nights of Ramadan as compared to the other nights. So if you look at it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to exert himself in the Ramadan much more compared to the other months. And within the month of Ramadan, if you go to look at it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would exert himself in the last 10 nights of Ramadan as compared to the other nights of Ramadan. So this was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's way of spending the night, especially in the month of Ramadan. The last hadith, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قلت يا رسول الله أرأيت إن علمت أي ليلة ليلة القدر ما أقول فيها؟ قال قولي اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. حضرت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها نريد that I asked O رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم if I were to know the night of Qadr. In other words, if I were to know which night is the night of Qadr, what supplication should I make in it? Rasulullah, what supplication means, what dua should I make in it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, say, O Allah, this dua, Allahumma, innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anni. Look at the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the greatest of the great. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of creation is who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala is, we know He is Khaliq, Allah ta'ala has created everything, but the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at his humility, that if he, despite exerting himself and making so much of effort, and we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ma'asum, he was protected from committing gunas, but yet he's teaching us such a dua that shows the humility of such a great personality. What is the dua? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are all forgiving and you love to forgive, so forgive me. O Allah, you are all forgiving, you love to forgive, so forgive me. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making tawbah every day. We are full with sins from head to toe. Imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaching us how to make dua. Despite him not engaging in dua, but he would engage in istighfar. Sorry, despite him not engaging in sin, but yet he would engage in istighfar. In hadith it comes that 70 times, in other hadith it comes 100 times. Daily Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make istighfar. He would turn to Allah ta'ala in for asking for forgiveness, and turning to Allah ta'ala in asking Allah ta'ala to forgive him for any mistake that he may have made. But yet he was protected from gunas. So me and you that are engaged in so much of guna, so much of sin, how much we need to make tawbah, we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala forgive us. When the person is forgiven, then what happens is he draws the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person now makes a niyat that, O Allah, you forgive me. And then together with making niyat and making tawbah, a person should make niyat that, O Allah, that I make a solid niyat that I won't return. Whatever sins I've committed, whatever gunas I've committed, I'm not going to return to those gunas. So simple thing, one is he makes niyat that he's not going to go back to sin. That, O Allah, forgive me, I'm not going to go back to sin. And whatever gunas I've committed, I'm making it now that I won't return. Ulama explain, immediately he becomes a wali Allah. In the sight of Allah, he's a wali already. Simple thing, he didn't do much. Or on its own, he hasn't done tahajjud and he hasn't making plenty khatams of Quran and much zikr. But all he did was, he on the spot, he made niyat that, O Allah, I'm asking you to forgive me. Making niyat, Allah, making niyat that he won't go back to the guna, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. What happens? Is immediately this person becomes a wali of Allah. Easy recipe of becoming a wali of Allah is make near that we won't go back to any gunas. Allah Pa give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.